we're holding on Dalit Ahmed Bey's four lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday in detail how exactly we work out the point that a korban has to be, that all the four primary avodas of a korban have to be done l'shma for the sake of that type of korban, and also l'shem kodesh and l'shem bailin for the sake of the particular owner, and if not, we said then the person is not yours. So now the Gemara says, Eima hecha b'shachat l'hu shalei l'shma l'ksav. Well, then, based on everything we said, shouldn't we say that if it was shechted or any of these avodas were done shalei l'shma, that it should be outright possible? And here the Mishnah had said that with most kinds of korbanos, it's kosher, and we continue the korban, and we eat it, and we do everything, except that the owner is not yotzin. Only by the Pesach and the Chatas and the various other opinions in the Mishnah over there about different other ones did we say that it's outright possible. So based on everything we said, it ought to be possible. Tosfos wonders, what's the question? We have throughout this Masechta, we're going to have the concept, Shon all of our cost of La'akiv. In order for something to be La'akiv, for something to make a Torah possible, if it's not done, it has to be that the Torah repeats it at least twice. Here we don't have the Torah didn't repeat it twice. All the Drushas we went through yesterday, we had one Drusha for each avoida that's possible if there was Shinri Kodesh, changing the designation of it, and a different Jirasha for Shinri Bailin, we don't have a repetition. So Tosfos says, well, that's just it. We said that we had a Pasuk that seemingly referred to Shinri Kodesh, and we said that no, in fact, that refers to Shinri Bailin because we already have one for Shinri Kodesh. So that's the question, basically. Why do we have to assume that one's for Shinri Kodesh and one's for Shinri Bailin and say then that neither one is Ma'akiv? Say that both of them are referring to Shinri Kodesh, and there's your Shana Olam HaKosav La'akiv, there's your repetition, and therefore it would be possible. Okay, Tosfos further discusses other reasons for the Gemara's question. Anyway, so the answer is Amakra. So we have to go back to the Jerusha that we had on Beis Amud Beis. The passage says, Motzas Fasecha Tishma Valsisa Kashen Adar Tavagrema. What comes out of your mouth you should observe and you should keep as you vowed. And first it says Kashen Adar Tavagrema, and then it says Nidava. So Hai Nidava Neder. What do we mean he's calling it a Nidava? Isn't it a Neder? Ella, what it means is in Kamashan Adarta Osisa, if the way you vowed the korban, you vowed to bring an Ola, and in fact it's being brought now as an Ola, then good, Yehei Neder, then it's for Neder, and it fulfills your Neder. Vimlav, Yehei Nedava, but if not, then it's going to be counted as an Adava, and you won't be Yodza. But we see, in other words, that it is Kosher, otherwise it wouldn't count as an Adava either. Now, given that we have that, now we also, in the course of the discussion earlier, we brought the pasuk Zoyis HaTorah, that there's a hekesh between all the different kinds of korbanos. So that once we say that the concept applies by Shlomim, that it has to be L'shem Kodesh and L'shem Bailim, so it applies across the board to all the other korbanos. So the Gemara points out, but it's just Motzas Fasecha, but it's just Zoyis HaTorah. In fact, we need both of those Zoroshas. He calls it Rachmanim Motza. If the Torah only said the pasuk Motzas Fasecha, from which we learn that a Neder, that a korban that is supposed to have been brought as a Neder instead can become an Adava if it was Shaloi L'shma Havamina. Then you would have said, lo yoda b'mai. Fine, but you wouldn't know what that refers to. How does a neder turn into an adava? You wouldn't know how you'd know. Fine, you can have a neder turn into an adava, but you wouldn't know that it has to do with the avoda having to be lishma, if it's shaloi lishma, then it's not kosher. Therefore, the pasuk has to say the word Zoyis HaTorah. We're therefore, so we see, and by Shlomim, we see as we worked through yesterday that it mentions by Zevach Shlomim, by the Shvita, and by Hamakra, by Zdama Shlomim, that it means the Kabbalah, and so on and so forth as we go through each of the avodas. So therefore, we realize now, based on that hekesh, that we're talking about how does a neder turn into, how does an animal that was supposed to be brought as a neder instead turn into an endeavor by one of the avodas being done Shaloi L'shma. Because the Rahman is Zoyis HaTorah, but if you only had the word, the Pasuk Zoyis HaTorah, but the Hekesh, Havam and Elipsalu, then you would think they would outright be Pasuk. With all Korbanos, Pasuk Rahman, Moses Fasecha, therefore you have the Pasuk Moses Fasecha, which tells you that not, they're not Pasuk, just that what was supposed to be a Neder instead becomes an Adava, and you're not Yosef, and you have to bring another one. But nevertheless, that it's still Pasuk. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Rish Lakish was lying on his stomach in the Beis Medrash, and he asked the following question. Now, why is he lying on his stomach? And in fact, there's a different place in Shas where the Gemara says a person is not supposed to lie down prakdon, where there's an explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel that it means face down. So what's he doing lying on his stomach anyhow? There's a Gemara in Gittin that mentions that that tells a story over there how the Shlokish one time destroyed the Ludin, a tribe of cannibals, where he killed them one by one. A whole story over there, and then afterwards the Gemara says he would eat and drink. He always spent his money on food and drink. He didn't save from one day to the next. And when his daughter asks him why, he says, "Don't you need a pillow?" He says, "Crazy tree. My stomach is my pillow." And Tosfos refers to our Gemara over here that he would regularly lie on his stomach. Still, why is he doing that? So, a couple of interesting ideas that Mephoshim have. One of them is the Gemara may be telling us that Rish Lakish, it was uncomfortable for him to sit any other way because he was a Baal Basar. He's a heavy set. Or even that one time, partially he had a stomachache. But nevertheless, he didn't allow that to prevent him from coming to the Beis Medrash and learning. He's still going to be there. If it means that he has to lie and be in a position like that, then he'll be there in order to learn and ask questions and answers. Then you have an interesting thing from Reb Tzadik HaKoyen Milublin, as in his Sefer Takanas HaShavim. He has a long explanation over there, which kind of brings in that whole story with the Ludim from Gittin over there. Kitzur HaMaisa, he explains that Rish Lakish is eating and drinking, like the Gemara says over there, he's always spending his money on food and drink and not saving it for another time, is tantamount to bring karbonis. Rish Lakish accomplishing with that eating and drinking, what's accomplished is karbonis. So his stomach then in effect is a mizbeach. Well, very appropriately, then he's lying on his stomach over here and dealing with a matter of karbonis. Why are karbonis? How can a korban be brought shelo l'shma? When he makes the point of it, his whole eating and drinking was purely lishma, and there's no way that it could be any other way, otherwise it wouldn't be like a korban. So now he can ask over here about this matter of lishma. Anyway, so Rish Lakish asks it, what in mimarsha? In ksheri mehem yiratsu, if the korban is kosher, then it ought to actually work for the owners, it ought to actually work for the owner's chiyuv, and he should be completely yotze. Now he didn't know yet of the dinosha. He didn't know yet of the Dirasha from Moitzas Fasecha. He realized it only afterwards, as the Gemara was going to say soon. So if the korban is kosher, then it ought to be meratzin. The main meratzin, long of if it's not meratzin, if it's not going to work on the owner's behalf, then why are you even bothering to bring the korban? Then why are you even bothering to bring the korban at all? Why are you continuing with the rest of the avodas of the korban? Just say you stop there. It's not meratzin anyhow, and it ought to be possible. Rabbi Yezer, actually it's supposed to be Rabbi Lozer, says to him, you want to have an example of a korban that's blue and the person is not yotze? I'll give you another example. You have a korban that's blue after the original owner passed away, where it's kosher, the ein meratzin, but it's not accomplishing a kapara for the person because ein kapara l'meisa. There's a certain limited extent, this kapara l'meisim, that's the whole basis of saying yizkor and pledging tzedakah for them. But we say, as far as korbanos, we regularly say ein kapara l'meisim. We touched on it actually in Hodius a week or two back about the mentions over there that the egla rufa is machaper for the dirtus all the way from Yitzias Mitzrayim. But basically, in general, we say ein kapara l'meisim. So therefore, the korban is not really being machaper for anybody over here, but you still bring it. Ditznan, as we learn in the Mishnah. Ha'isha shevi chatoso meisas. You have a woman who gave birth, where she's supposed to bring a chatos and an oila. So if she brought her chatos and then died, yavir yoshin oilasa, who yoshim still have to bring her oila. Aye, she's dead and ain't kapara l'meisim. Doesn't matter, we still have to bring it anyway. Oilasa umesa, but if you brought her oila first and then she died, lo yavir yoshin chatosa, then her yoshim do not bring her chatos. Because at that point, then this is called a chatos shemesu ba'aleha. We touched on it a little bit in Hodius. We're going to have much more about it in the Sechet Tzmura in another year or so, Bez Hashem, about that you have several cases where a chatos has to be locked up in a womb and left to die in any of up to five cases, and one of them is where the owner died before the korban was brought. So therefore, they can't bring her chatas. But the point is, we do see that on the other hand, they bring her oila, even though she's dead. So you see that there can be a korban brought, and it's perfectly kosher, and they have to bring it, even though it's not actually accomplishing any kapara. Tosfos has several discussions on the point over here. In other places, the Gemara deals with the question, b'chlal, when we say a person is required to bring a korban, meaning that there's a shibud on their property, do we say that shibud is on a daraisa level, or in general, do we say when a person owes money and we know there's a shibud on their karka, you have to throughout seder nizikin, is that concept daraisa or not? So that will affect this question of how obligated they are to bring this korban, and this question of whether we can say that the Korban ought to be, still has to be brought or not. Then Tosfos also discusses the point that we learned at the end of Hodius that a chatos is always supposed to be before the Ola, and the Gemara elsewhere says that it's actually ma'akiv. So how is it possible over here that they brought her Ola and haven't yet brought her chatos, and we're saying that they can't do that? So Tosfos discusses that a little bit and says that maybe only by Mitzoda is it ma'akiv, and different other Mephoshim talk about different possibilities of why, of how that can work. Be that as it may, the point is Rabbi Elazar is saying you want to have an example of a korban that's brought, even though it's not mechaper, even though it's not meratzeh. There you go. Amalei, so Rosh Lakish says that's not a proof. Fine, I will agree to you when it comes to an oila. If an oila, fine, I agree with Shechted Shalor Bishman, then I agree that I don't have a problem with the fact that we're continuing to bring it as a korban, precisely because, as you're saying, with the oila of a yeledes, we find such a thing. However, says Rish Lakish, my question is, and fine, says Rashi also, then I have no problem with a shlomim, most korbanos, but the fact is, the same way as a chatas, we're saying the chatas shemesu baaleh, where the owner died, you don't bring it anymore, and instead you lock it up in a room and leave it to die, with an osham, the parallel thing, the person had to bring an osham, and then they died before they brought it, you also don't bring that animal as an osham. Instead, what you do is you have to leave it to, as usual with korbanos that are posel, you leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and you use the money for another korban, for kites and mizbeach. We're going to talk about more about that on Amud Beis. So Rish Lakish says, my real question is about the osham. I'll agree to you an ola, since anyway, fine, as you're saying, it is able to be brought after the person died, then fine, I have no problem with an ola and most other problems. But here we know for an osham, on the one hand, our Mishnah is saying, according to the Tanakhama, that an osham is kosher shaloi l'shma, but if not, but the owner is not yotze. On the other hand, you never bring an osham after the person died. So why is that? So you don't have any reason to say there is another example where you bring an osham even though it's not mechaper. Amalei, so Rabbi Elazar answers, Amari Mechlot Chavetzidoi, new right there in the Mishnah. You have an opinion that fits with what you're saying, Rabbi Eliezer, Oima Af Osham, where Rabbi Eliezer says the same rule that applies to a chatas applies to an Osham. Well, there you go then, says Rabbi Elazar to the Shlokas. So fine, you have no case where, according to Rabbi Elazar at least, where an Osham is brought by Achamisa, and when an Osham is brought, when it's not Mechaper. So good, then, in that case, so do you agree already about the Korbanos that could be brought La'acham Yisa, and you're only concerned about the Osham? Fine, so then the Osham is in the same category as the Chatas, so there's no basis for your question. Or rather, your question is going to be answered that your Shitta is according to Rabbi Eliezer. Omar, so Rish Lakish says, are you the kind of person, are you the person that they say you're a great Talmid Chacham? Kamina, no Mishnah Shlema. I'm talking about the complete Mishnah. I'm talking about the Stam Mishnah, where it's not, where an Osham Shalom Bishma is not possible. You're answering me very nice, Rabbi Eliezer Shita. But I want to know, according to the Chachamim, how are they going to understand how that Osham could be brought when it's not Mechaper? I will open up the answer for myself. You can't give me a good answer. I'll find an answer myself. And the answer is, in the end, that he comes upon that drosha that we said before, Moitzis for Sephiroth grammar, Hai Nedin and Dabahu, Fuller, Tadilayo, the same drosha that we said before, that we see the Torah is saying that you can have a korban that was supposed to be a neder and instead becomes a nedava and you're not yotze, but the korban is still brought. And we said that since we have the hekesh between most kinds of korbanos, including shlomim and including oshim, as I said, la oilo, la mincha, la hafas, la oshim, la miluim, la zavach shlomim, then therefore so an oshim is in that category as well. So in that case, then why don't we say that? Why don't we learn from the chatas? That's the Gemara's next question. So that's going to be the question soon. Why in that case, if we have the hekesh between all the korbanos, then why is a chatas accepted from that, and why indeed don't we learn for the other ones from chatas? So the Gemara, so fine. So the Shlokas says I have an answer. So now the Gemara says let's analyze that question of the Shlokas and that answer of Rabbi Elazar's. Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yitzchok Abba was sitting together, and Abaya was sitting together with them. So they were sitting and saying as follows. You have, by the way, this expression throughout Shas, that a Yosef that he's sitting, or Yasvi in plural, and then the Yosef upon him. There's an explanation. I think Ben Yoyada says that where the Zorot would be, they're sitting together. When one of them wants to ask a question, he would stand up to ask the question, and then he would sit down again, so therefore you have the second Yasvi. So they said, like,
stand up and ask.
He would stand up and ask, and then sit down to hear the question from the Rosh Hashiva, apparently. So here we're talking about three Chachamim sitting together. It's not in a formal Yeshiva setting, but still you often have that kind of thing where it says that they sat and they were saying because they would stand and then they would sit down. Anyway, so the question is, Kashalei l'Rosh Lakish Osram, the Lord also la'apamisa. So wait a minute, how are we learning from Moitzah Spasefa in the first place? Rosh Lakish's question is on an Osham that he says, how can you bring it after the person? You know, you never find where an Osham is brought after the person died, and therefore you have no example where an Osham is being brought when it's not Miratza, where it's not being Mechapa for the person. And what is he answering? He's answering with a drosha from the Pasuk Moitzah Spasefa. That's 100 voluntary korbanos, neder and nedavah. Ema habob neder and nedavah lice, even lay lirzi. So maybe the Torah is telling you that any korban that can be brought for neder and nedavah, oila shlomim Torah, etc., those can be lice even lay lirzi. Those can be brought even though they're not meratza. Osham lay lice kaba. Maybe an osham shouldn't be able to be brought at all. In fact, Tosfa says that maybe in fact now we're going back. So the Shlokish have said before, Medina l'chaba ola. I would agree with you that there's a difference between an ola and shlomim and other korbanos versus an osham. Now the Gemara is saying maybe actually not. Maybe he only said that because of the doik, because Rabbi Lazar had brought up the case of the yeledus with her korban that's brought la'atamisa. But maybe in fact the Shlokish himself would prefer to say that the same rule ought to apply to all korbanos. So now, fine, he's going to say you have Moitzah Spasecha, so that'll tell us, therefore, that an Ola and Shlomim and so forth can be brought Shaloi L'Shma, even though you're not Yotzeh, but maybe an Oshem not. Omelu Abayas, Abayas says to the other Chachamim, you're right, Rosh Lakish Mehocha Pasach. Rosh Lakish is actually not using the Pasach Moitzah Spasecha, because you're right, that doesn't really tell us anything about an Oshem. Rather, Mehocha Pasach, he rather opened it and derived it from here, where it says, V'shachat oisa l'chatas. The Pasach says you should check it for chatas, which means oisa l'shma, and the oisa is a mute, oisa l'shma k'shera, shalai l'shma psula. When it says for chatas, means it has to be dafka as a chatas, so that particular korban, only if he does it l'shma is it kosher, and if he does it shalai l'shma it's psula. Hoshav kodshim, shalai l'shma k'shera. So the implication is that other korbanos, if they're shechted, or any of the avodas are done, shalor v'shma, then they're kosher. Yochol yiratzu, now if you want to know, how do you know that they're, you would think maybe they are in fact miratzah, maybe they are mechafer, and the person does not have to bring another one, no, tamad leva moitzas fasecha. So then now you need moitzas fasecha. So before, when the Gemara had said, Rish Lakish had said, I'm going to answer it based on moitzas fasecha, that's really only the second half of his argument. First he brings the miut from chatas, and then that which applies to chatas, that it's possible shalor v'shma, and then he brings in that the other ones are in fact kosher on the basis of moitzas fasecha. Well, the question still is, Moitzas Fasecha does not cover the Oshem, because not brought Benedu and Adava. The Ema Habba Benedu and Adava, Lysi Veloy Lirzi. So maybe you should say there's three different categories. Achatas would be Postal Shalevishmai. One that can be brought Benedu and Adava, since it's able to become an Adava instead of a Neder, then fine, Lysi Veloy Lirzi. So you bring it, and it won't be Miratza, but it'll still be a Kosher Korban, because at least an Ola and a Shlomim and whatnot can be brought as an Adava. Osham Atsunin Ami Lirzi, but maybe with an Osham, we should say, given that there's no other alternative, an Osham cannot be brought to Neder and Adava, it can't be brought after the person's dead, anything like that. We never find that an Osham is brought except to be Miratza. Fine, you can't say that it's possible because you have the Mirat by Chatas from the word Oisa, but then say that it's a third category, and it's actually, and the person is actually Yotze. Where's Rish Lakish getting that now? Amar Abaye answers, Oshram de Miratzi len Motis Amra. You can't say that an Oshram should be able to be Miratza, that it should be able to, that the owner should be able to be Yotze with it, if it was Shaloi Lashma. Kavachoymer may Ola, because you can make a Kavachoymer from an Ola, and an Ola we know already, that it can't be Miratza, it can't be, the owner can't be Yotze if it was Shaloi Lashma. We know that from Motis Fasecha. So an Oshram, you can make a Kavachoymer. Uma Ola she'en mechaperas, madachan Ola, which is not mechaper for a person, or in particular, it's not mechaper for Lavin. Later on, we're going to talk in the Nepeta, because a person can bring it, if he was over a mitzvah saseh, or certain kinds of lavin. The lavin needs to bless it. But the lavin for which a person needs to bring a chatas, he's not yotze if he brings an oila. So an oila is not machaber for many kinds of avedas. Ain't a miratza, and we're saying that if you bring it at shaloi l'shma, then it's not miratza, the owner is not yotze. Oshem shemachaper, so then an oshem, which actually has to be machaper for certain serious kinds of avedas. How much more so that should not be meratza if it's brought shaloi l'shma. So fine, you don't have a pasuk for it, but you have a kavah chomer. But the Gemara says mala oila shaken tolo. And what do you mean? How are you to learn from a kavah chomer from an oila? An oila has a feature that an osham doesn't. It's completely burnt on the mizbeach. So maybe because of that, an oila is also more stringent as far as needing to be l'shma, and otherwise you're not yotze. Fine, the answer is
shalom. You don't use kavachomer for kodshim.
Of course we use kavachomer for kodshim. What you can't do, and we're going to learn later in the Masechta, is ein lamedin lamed min halamed. We're going to have a long, complex sugya about it later on in Ezer Mekoyman, that when you have something that you learned with, in certain cases, and we're going to go through in detail, when you learn something, for example, once you learn, you can't, no, kavachomer, you're talking about, no, kavachomer, odim dom kavachomer ma'afzai. No, a person can... Zeh Shabbat, a person can't come up with on his own. Kavachomer, a person can come up with on his own. Later on, Daf Mem Tes Nun, we're going to have a Sugya where we're going to talk about, for example, if you learn by a Kavachomer something from, let's say, if you're learning something from a Kavachomer to Shlop from Shlomim to Oila, you can't then turn around and use another Kavachomer to say that you're going to learn from Oila to another Korban. That we, let's call Lomid min HaLomid, where you're learning one thing from another, which itself was learned through one of the Yudomid Eschatorin and Dresh's family. The Gemara is going to go through, sometimes you can, but in many cases, if you have, for example, you learn one of them from the other with a Hekish, then you can't now learn the other one with Kavach Choymer. It's a unique rule by Kodshim that you can't do Lomid min HaLomid with all other areas in Torah you could. But here we're not talking Lomid min HaLomid, it's one Kavach Choymer, so it's perfectly fine to do that.
Can you learn a Kavach Choymer for non-Kodshim and apply it to Kodshim?
That's a different matter. That's what we're going to get into when we have that Sylvia on Daphne and Tess and Daphne. We're going to talk about when the Lomid and the Milamid, what you're learning from and what you're learning to, if one of them is in Kodshim and one of them is not, what rules apply there. So if you have anywhere else in Torah outside of Kodshim, you can have a chain of as many Limudim as you want. You can have one thing learned from another with a Kavach Choymer and another one from that to something else with a Gzeira Shava and from that to something else with a Binyan Av and so forth. With Kodshim, you have limitations, but those limitations are primarily only when we're learning all within Kodshim, one Kodshim from another, not when we're learning from something outside Kodshim to Kodshim or vice versa. But anyway, here again, we're only talking about one thing, one Kavach Choymer. So you can't learn a kavachomer from Oila because Oila has a unique feature over an Oshem that is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Okay, the answer is Shlomim is faithful. Fine, then prove instead from a Shlomim. A Shlomim is not completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And we're saying that if you bring it Shaloi l'shma, then it's not Meratza, so you can say the same thing with an Oshem. You can say, I want how much more so an Oshem, which is supposed to be Mechaper for an Avedim. You could say, though, Mal Shlomim Shekin Tu'un and Nisachin, or Tunufas Chazav Shoy. Fine, but on the other hand, a Shlomim has features over an Oshem. You have to bring Nisachin with it, which you don't bring with an Oshem. You have to wave the breast and thigh of it, which you don't do with an Oshem. Rashi points out there was a Gyusei in front of him that said Smicha as well. Now, Rashi says, no, there's Smicha on an Oshem as well. The only Korbanis you don't do Smicha on is Bechor, Meister, and Pesach. On the other hand, Tosfos does leave in, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chaim, that the word smicha can belong over there, because the Gemara brings later in the Masechta, specifically among the various Hashamas, you have Hasham Mitzora, and there's an opinion, we're going to learn later on, in the third parak of our Masechta, that some say that the smicha, that when the Mitzora does smicha on that korban, it's not required daraisa for him to do. So therefore, so you have an example where an Oshem does not, in fact, need smicha, whereas every Shlomim does need smicha. So you can't make a kavachomer from Shlomim if Shlomim has a feature that Oshem doesn't. So the answer is Oila Techia. Okay, well, those we can bring back from Oila. Where an Oila, fine, an Oila does require Nisachim, but it doesn't require Chazav Ashoik. So therefore, Chazav Adin. So we're going to go back and forth. We'll do by a combination, by a Tzad HaShava, between Oila and Shlomim. Loi Re'izek Tirizev, Loi Re'izek Tirizev. Each one has a feature the other one doesn't have. The Oila is completely burnt. The Shlomim requires the Chazav Ashoik to be waived. Atzadet Rabbah Shabahan. What do they all have in common? Saying Kodshim, they're both Kodshim, Meshach and Shaloy Lishma, Treyun Vein Merastin. And if you shech them or do one of the other Avodas, Shaloy Lishma, then it's kosher, but it's not Meratzah, the owner is not Yoritzah. Afani Ovik, Oshram, true Kodesh. So I can bring in with that Tzadah Shabbah as well, at all the world's for an Oshram, which is also Kodesh, Meshach to Shaloy Lishma, Kosher Vein Meratzah. Where if it's then we can say that by a Kavachomer between those two things, neither of those is Mechaper for an Avera, but yet, between the two of them, we see they have to be Shaloy Lishma. If not, it's not Meratzah. How much more so an Osham, which is being brought for various kinds of Averis. But the Gemara asks, so fine, and you would have said the same thing with a Chatas, except that by a Chatas you have the words, V'shachat oysa l'chatas. However, the Gemara asks, Ma'alat Tzadah Shavah Shavahen, Shekhen Yeshne B'tzibur. However, though, you have a different Tzadah Shavah between an Oyla and a Shlomim. You have Korbanos Tzibur. You have Korbanos Oyla that are brought for the Tzibur, the Tmidim and most of the Musafim. You have Shlomim because you have Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur from Shavuos. Now, the Shalmei Tzibur, mind you, are not a regular kind of Shlomim. They're actually regular Shlomim or Kodshim Kalim. They can be shechted anywhere in the Azorah and they can be eaten by anybody anywhere in Yerushalayim, as opposed to Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur are in the same category or Kodshim, like we have in morning davening. They're like an Osham in like a Chatas or an Osham in that they can be shechted only in the north of the Azorah and they're eaten only by the male Kohenim in the Azorah. Nonetheless, though, it still is called a Shlomim at least. You have a name Shlomim among the Korbanos Tzibur. There's no name of Osham anywhere among the Korbanos Tzibur. So therefore you could say that maybe an Ola and a Shlomim have to be Lishma because of that. Maybe an Osham not. The answer is Toida Techiach. Okay, well prove to the contrary from a Toida. There's no Korban Tzibur of a Toida either. Tosfos points out that an Ola you can have the Tzibur can voluntarily bring an Ola named the Kayif and Mizbeach that we're going to talk about soon, but you never have the Tzibur never brings a Toida or a Shlomim as an Adava of a Tzibur. So therefore, you can say you have a triple Tzadah Shabbat between Ola and Shlomim and Toida, where each of them has some feature that the other one doesn't have, and all of them have to be shechted l'shma, and if not, then he's not Meratzah. So the same way, so first, actually, the Gemara is going to try to learn only Toida. But the Gemara says, no, Ma'al Toida, she can't tell him to the lechem. That doesn't work, though, because the Toida has the special feature of having to have the bread that goes with it, the 40 loaves of bread. And Osham does not. So the answer is, Oilo Shlomim, if it will sign. So then you'll combine together Toida and Ola and Shlomim, and make a triple Tzadah Shavah between all of them. V'chozer Adin, again, we're going to go back and forth. Loyri Izeh to Izeh, Loyri Izeh to Izeh. Each one has a unique feature that the other one doesn't have. The Ola is completely burnt. The Shlomim has Nesachim and Chozer Ashoik. Both of those, however, can be brought by the Tzibur. The Toda also has Smicha and Chozer Ashoik and all that, but it also has loaves of bread, but it's not brought by the Tzibur. And all of them, Atzadah Shavah Shabahan, Shein Kodshim, Veshachten, Shalod Shmon, Kosher, Vein Meratzah. They're all Kodshim, and if they're Shechted, Shalod Shmoy, the Korban is Kosher, but it's not Meratzah. Afani, Ovi Osham. So there's then, now I can bring in also an Osham, true Kodesh, where it's Kodesh, Veshachted, Shalod Shmoy, Kosher, Vein Meratzah. Nevertheless, if you Shechted, Shalod Shmoy, then it is kosher, but it's nobody's not Yotze. So fine, you can't learn it from Motzes Tosefa, but you can learn it from the Tzadah Shavah. But the Gemara asks, still, Mala Tzadah Shavah Shabahen, still though, you have another Tzadah Shavah, you have another thing that's in common between an Ola, Shlomim, and a Toda, Shehein, Boin, Benedu, and Adava. Exactly the point. They can all be brought Benedu and Adava, so therefore you could say that now, if they were brought in a way where the Nedu is not being accomplished, then they become an Adava. The fact is, all this time, you've been arguing that an Osham is different because an Osham cannot be brought Benedu and Adava. So how are you trying to make a Kavachomer to include an Osham? So Rava says, fine, you're right, you can't learn it from a Kavachomer and from a Tzadah Shavah like that. We have the Pasuk that we said already, Zois HaTorah V'Gomer, the Pasuk, Zois HaTorah V'Gomer L'Shlomim, so Hikisha, because of L'Shlomim. So the Torah is making a Hekish between all the other Korbanos and Shlomim. And a Hekish already, you don't have the problem that Shlomim is Vod, Neder, and Adava, and so forth, because we have the rule, Ein Meshivin ala Hekish. When we have something that we learn out from a Hekish, there's no arguing that, yeah, but they're dissimilar, because the Torah put them together, and therefore you can learn one from the other. So therefore, ma shlomim shem kodshim. So just like shlomim are kodshim, so you don't even need toda and oila anymore. V'shochtem shlodashman, trenin ve'in meratzim. Now if you shech the shlomim, shlodashman, then it's kosher, but it's not meratzah. Afani ovi osham shu kodesh kola. So now we can bring in an osham as well. Then if it's shlodashma, it's kosher, but it's not meratzah. Well, the question is, my chos is the actual shlomim. Fine, but you're having that same positive. You have shlomim and you have chatos. So why are you making the hekesh with shlomim actual chatos? So instead, make a hekesh with chatos and say that a chatos is posel shalor l'shmoy completely. And not only the owner is not yotze, but the korban is completely posel. So maybe the same thing should be true of an osham and all the other kodshim as well. And the answer is, v'miyot rachmana oisa. Because since you have the mute by the chatos, where it says the shochat oisa lochatos, then therefore so specifically by it you have the Torah is telling us that it's possible for shaloi l'shma, but not by red and Pesach, and we'll see in a couple of lat, but not the other korbanos. So the hekesh is necessarily going to tell us to compare them to the so in other words we have among the korbanos listed over there zoyis haTorah la'ula la'mincha la'chatos la'asham etz la'milul la'zevach shlamim. We have only two of them where we have something about shaloi l'shma shlamim from the zevach shlamim. And from Moses Fasecha, would tell us that it's kosher, to tell us that it has to be done l'shmoi, but Moses Fasecha to tell us that if it was not done, the korban is still kosher, versus chatas, we have shachat oisa v'chatas, if now you have both of them in a positive, and you have a hekesh between one of them and all the other korbanas, the fact that you have the miut by chatas means that that rule applies only to the chatas, and therefore it means that the hekesh is going to be with the only other one there, that we know another din from already, namely the shlomim, and therefore so it's kosher v'ein emirat. So that's the bottom line, how we figure out that the Osham is in that category as well, despite Rish Lakish's question that an Osham is not brought La'acha Misa and the whole point that the Gemara was saying that's Mechaper and so on and so forth. So now let's analyze that discussion between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar further, and we're going to have a Simon Hanish Bosser. It's an acronym for the names of the Chachamim that we're going to have in the next piece. You're going to have Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes in the first group, and then later on you have Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes, and Rav Ada. So the Gilsa is probably supposed to be different. They talk about instead of Bosser, it's supposed to be Nothod or Nosha. So the Gemara often does that. Many of the simonim in the Gemara are to help remember the names of Amiroyim who were involved in the discussion. There's an interesting sefer. There's a sefer of Chidushim on Gemara from Rav David Powder, a famous Sfardish Rav, 200 odd years ago. He has in the back of it, he goes through all of these simonim in the Gemara and explains, first of all, many of them, there's mistakes in them, so he has to correct them a lot of times, like this one, but he also a lot of times deals with the deeper meaning of why the Gemara brings it. Like on Amud Aleph, we also have a couple of Chachamim sitting together. Why don't we have a simon for that? Why all of a sudden over here? So he explains, he sort of focuses on the Nosha, Meloshin Noshim, and he has a whole explanation, on the Kabbalah, that Korbonis relate to Malchus, which is feminine, and therefore the Gemara now is going to, when it has the opportunity to bring in a Simen that uses the word Nosha, as in Noshim, as in women, then it's going to do that. He has a whole lot of rechus about it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman were sitting together. V'Yosef Rav Sheshes Gabayu. Rav Sheshes was sitting together with them, so there's a Hanash, Huna Nachman Sheshes. The Yastri Vakami, they were sitting and saying, let's analyze Rabbi Shlokish's question and Rabbi Lazar's answer a little further. Rishlokish's question was that an Osham, unlike an Ola and a Shlomim, cannot be brought La'acha Misa. And Rabbi Elazar doesn't have an answer, and eventually Rish Lakish has to come up with the Jerusha from Moitzas Fasecha and the whole discussion we had over there. Why not Lemalei Rabbi Elazar Osham Nami Osila Achamisa? Why doesn't Rabbi Elazar answer him? Then in fact you do have a case where an Osham is brought. Not the Osham itself, but you have, again, if the owner died, like we said on Amud Aleph, unlike with the Chatas, we don't leave it to die, we leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and we sell it, and we use the money to buy animals for Kayetz and Mizbeach, to be brought for Korbanos, Oila to be brought when there's no Korbanos being brought on the Mizbeach. So therefore, so you have, in effect, the Osham is being brought, La'achamisa. So therefore, you could say that then by the same token, an Osham can be brought, even when it's not Meratzah. says, you know why Rabbi Elazar didn't give that answer? Osham l'may korev. In what sense is an osham being in what sense is an osham being brought l'moisrei? As far as the leftovers, that again, you have leftover money in this case because the owner died, but you have other examples as well. For example, a person to begin with designated money for an osham that he had to bring, and he designated extra money. So all those cases then. So you use that money for a korban ola for the tzibur. In fact, in the Beis Hamikdash they had a bunch of pushkas, shloisha asa shofers, 13 pushkas, of which six of them were meant for nedava, and one of them was for exactly that, for kaitz and mizbeach, and one of them was from Moshe. One of the Gemara brings in a couple of places why there were six, but one opinion is that because they were labeled for different kinds of moshes, different kinds of leftover money, and one of them is Moshe Oshem. Well then, in that case. So in that sense, so the Oshem itself is not being brought, just the value of it is, Chatas Nami, Mikra Karva Moisra. Well, then a Chatas, you have exactly the same thing. If you have, now, it's true if the owner dies, then it's a Chatas Amesa. But for example, you can have a case where a person to begin with designated true, a person had to bring a Chatas, he ate Chelev or did whatever, he designated two animals, one as the primary and one as a back. So now, the Gemara tells us in Yuma that in that case, what he does is, the second one is not considered. Now, one of the cases of Chatoris HaMesis is Chatas Sheniskatru Baalei HaBa'achar. If the owner had an animal for a Chatas, and then he lost it, and then he used a different one for his Chiyuv, and then he found the original one, then that original one is a Chatas HaMesa. But to begin with, he designated two animals, one as the primary and one as the backup, then the backup is not a Chatas HaMesa. Instead, he uses one of them, whichever one he wants, for the korban, and the other one we leave to graze, and eventually it will be used to bring an ola. So the same exact thing that your sort of sheishes is saying, the same exact, you're going to tell me that an osham can be brought la'achamisa, not the animal itself, but rather its value. Well, exactly the same thing applies to a chatas, and yet a chatas we're saying is posel shaloi l'shma. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar can't answer with that detail from an osham, because then Rish Lakish would tell him, well, then why is a chatas any different? So the Gemara says the answer is chatas afagab de korva moisra miyat rachmanahu. The answer is true. You could answer that, but the fact is that even though a chatas is moiser, if you have a leftover animal, leftover money or whatever, it will be brought as a korban. Nevertheless, miut rachmanahu, you do have that miut from the word hu, and therefore, so Tosfos actually explains that there are two different ways of parsing the wording in the Gemara over here. This line in the Gemara, Chatas Afagav de Kurva Moisra Miyat Rachmanahu, you could say that it's a question on what we said. You're telling me, so Rav Sheshes' statement was as follows. At Osham, you find that the first two, Chachamim, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, are asking why doesn't Rav Elazar explain that an Oshem can also be brought la'achamisa in the sense when you have a moisture, when you have a leftover. So Rav Sheshes' answer is that no, because it's only because an Oshem, you're not actually bringing the korban itself, only its leftover. Now the Gemara may be asking, wait a minute though, by a chatas also you have the moisture of it is being brought. And nevertheless, the Torah is saying that it's possible if it's shaloi l'shmoi. So why shouldn't the same thing apply to, the osham? So then in that case, then that would leave the question on the discussion between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar open. Why wouldn't we apply it to an Oshem as well? You're going to answer because an Oshem can be brought by Achamisa, but exactly the same thing is true of a Chatas, and we still don't say that it's kosher because of that. That's one way. Then Tosfos says the other way is we can say the Chatas Afagav de Korva Moisra is part of Rav Sheshes' statement, in which case the Giusa should be V'Chatas. That Rav Sheshes is saying, it is true that both an Osham and a Chatas have this in common, that the Moisra can be brought, and it can be brought even La'achamisa, but the difference is, by Chatas it says who, and by Osham it does not, and therefore there's a reason to distinguish between them. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks, Osham Nami Ksid Behu. But by the Osham, it also says who, because the Pasuk says, by the Pasuk says, the Hikdiroisim HaKoinam Mizbecha, the Koin should burn all the Emurim of the Osham on the Mizbeach. Isha LaHashem is a fire offering to Hashem. Osham who? It is an Osham. So the same way as we have who, the same way as we have Oisa by the Chatas, that it means that it has to be the Shema, by the chatas, the pasuk says that he should shech the korban chatas hu. So the question is osham. It also says osham hu. The answer is ahu la'afar haktoras emurin hu dechtiv. That hu by the osham is written only after the emurim have been burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, that's a different matter. Therefore, that's not affecting the kashrus of the korban. Kedetanya, as we learn in a brayser, Rashi brings it on the pasuk. Aval osham le'nemem bohu elo achak toras emurim. By a chatas it says hu in connection with the shechita, but by an osham it first says the word hu when after the emurim had been burnt. The hikdiros ma'koyin amazbeicha, the koyin should burn them on the mizbeach. Isha l'Hashem osham hu. The fact is that a korban is kosher, even if the emurim are never burned on the mizbeach in the first place. If it's a korban that has to be eaten, such as an osham, the korban can't eat it until the fat is burnt. But once the blood has been applied to the mizbeach, the kapara ein kapara el b'dam. So therefore, so once the blood has been applied properly to the mizbeach, that's it. The korban is kosher. Rashi points out, now there is another pasuk by an osham that says who by it to begin with. But Rashi explains no, because where do we use the word who for such a drasha is when the word who is in connection with the name of the korban. When the pasuk says by the chatas that he has to shecht it, chatas who. And when it says by the osham hu, then we can derive from that something about the details of the korban. When it says v'zois teres osham kodesh kadoshim hu, the hu is not in connection with the word osham; it's just in the word connection with the kodesh kadoshim. So fine, there'll be some other drasha from that, but nothing to do with the name of the, nothing to do with the designation of the korban. So the point being, in other words, that the Torah can't possibly be saying a miut when it comes to an osham by something which is anyway not ma'akiv, namely the haktoras emurim. So we're not worried about the who over there. Well, the question is, as opposed to by the chatas, where it says who in connection with the shchita, and shchita is one of the four primary avodas, because you're never going to have the blood sprinkled on the mizbeach if you didn't check it. All right, well, the question is, the elohu lomodi. So, taka, then why do we have that hu by osham if we're not using it to say that an osham has to be the shmoi? And the answer is, b'chidir of huna omer rab. It teaches us what Rav Huna says in the name of Rab, the omer of huna omer rab, osham shem nitzak l'ri'ida, when you have an osham that was pulled away from its original status and sent off to grave. So, for example, Rashi says, any of the examples that we said before, the owner died, the owner lost the animal and used a different one for his korban, and then he's using this one, and now it's nitak, it was pulled away. So Rashi over here explains nitak means that Beis Din told him, you can't bring that as an osham anymore, so now take it and graze it. From different other places, Rashi explains it doesn't maybe necessarily have to be that Beis Din tells him, just that he himself sends it off to graze. How can you mean master an animal that was supposed to be a korban? The fact is, the value of it eventually has to be brought for a korban. Once it is designated as a korban, the value is eventually going to have to be brought as a korban. But in this case, the way you do it, because it was ready to scap or ba'achar, and he can't now therefore go and he can't bring an osham voluntarily, therefore, so again, you have the same we said before, the chatoi samnesis, there's this osham, the Gemara explains in Tzmura, there's a halachal emotion in Sinai. Any of the five cases where if it happens with a chatas, the animal has to be left to die, among them when the owner died or when the owner was miscastled with another, where if the same parallel thing happens with an osham, then instead you send it off to graze and eventually use the money of it for kayitzim is there. So one way or the other, the value...
You're actually establishing the movement to be the Gemayan
animal
loss.
Yeah, you're actually sabo. You leave it to graze until it develops a mumbi macher, and you sell it for yavu b'dam of oila, and you bring and use the value for an oila. Exactly. In this case, the oila is kais on mizbeach. It's the midrash that the tzibur brings on the mizbeach, for which they have special funds in the business. Thus, four times when the mizbeach is otherwise unoccupied with korbanos. It's called kais on mizbeach, by the way. Kais literally means dessert. So it's almost like you have a main meal, and now you're done, but now you have dessert. That's these korbanos. Anyway, so here Rashi explains nitak means that Beis Din actually told him, take it and send it off to graze because you don't have, there's no room to bring it as an ashram anymore, and at this point it just has to be brought, at this point the value of it has to be brought as an oilah. In other places Rashi understands nitak differently, it doesn't necessarily have to literally be that Beis Din tells him. So in fact, Rashi over here, has a different explanation that just he removes, and nitak just means he removes the name Oshem from there. So here, Rashi almost seems to be contradicting himself. Is it that Beis Din has to tell him, or is it that he can do it on his own? Elsewhere, Rashi has yet another explanation that nitak just means that he actually did it, that he actually took it and sent and took it to the field. Tosfos here and in several other places discusses the whole point of whether here the Gemara is saying that you need this nitak, but is that actually daraisa, the drosha that the Gemara is bringing over here? Is it actually a complete drosha, or is it only an asmachta? Anyway. If the Osham was removed from its status as Osham and sent off to graze, the Shochte Stam, now if you were to shech that animal itself before it develops a mum, obviously, if he shechs its stam without specifying what kind of animal, kosher, then it will be a perfectly kosher oil. So again, part of Tosfos' discussion over here is, are we saying on a daraisa level it could have been brought as an ola and just midrabanan, we don't want it to bring it as an ola, but rather to eventually bring the value of it as an ola, or is it halacha l'moshe misinai that you're not supposed to do it l'hatchila, but b'dieved it would be fine. Anyway, the point is, So here it was supposed to be an Osham. Here it was Nitak. He was told by Beis Din, or he did on his own or whatever, and he sent it off to graze. If now he were to take that animal and shecht it without specifying, so if he were to specify it's an Osham, no good, because he can't bring an Osham, a neder and a double. But if he doesn't say anything, then it becomes by default an Ola, implying Nitak Ein. So this applies only if he actually already sent it off to pasture. Loi Nitak Loi, but if there was not Nitak, then no, because then it's still called an Osham, and you can't just redesignate it as an Oler. My time must, and now why is that? Omakra Hu, because the Pasuk says Osham Hu, Bahava Yosei Yehei, meaning that it retains its original status. So when you have Nitak, when you took it and gave it to the shepherd to start grazing it, then fine. You changed its status by that. Now B'dieved, if you were to shecht it having in mind it's an Ola, then fine. Or having in mind nothing in particular, then it becomes an Ola. But before that, then you can't change it, and that we learn from the Hu by an Osham. So that's different by... That's different than it was by the Chatas, where the Hu is mentioned in connection with the Shchita, and there we say it means that if it's Shalor Lishma, it's possible. So that's one. So that discussion explains then again why is it that when Rish Lakish was bothered about the Osham, I mean, that it doesn't come La'acham Nisa, why we don't say that it could in the sense that the value of it could. And the answer is that would be the sense of, so either again, either the Gemara had asked, you see, by a chatas, that doesn't make a difference, that the Torah has a miut by it anyway, so why shouldn't we say the same thing by an ashram? Or choice was the second explanation, that Rosh Hashanah is saying, the same way, as you see, the same thing you could say about an ashram, you would have said by a chatas, and yet you see, the Torah is saying that a chatas is possible shalai v'shmai, so therefore the fact that you can bring the moister after the person died doesn't prove anything one way or the other. Okay. Now another discussion about the conversation between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Elazar. Yosef Rabbi Nachman of Rav Sheshes, he was the bosser or neshed or nosha or whatever from before. Yosef Rabbi Nachman of Rav Sheshes, now Rabbi Nachman and Rav Sheshes are sitting together. V'yasev Rabbi Adar Bamasna Gabayu, and Rabbi Adar Bamasna is sitting together with them. V'yasev Rabbi Chamri, and they were sitting and saying, here's another point that comes out from that discussion. Here Rabbi Elazar is saying that you see that there can be a korban that's brought after the person dies, and it is kosher, as in the case of the Ola of the Yeledis, even though it's not Miratze, because Ein Kapara L'Mesim. So Rish Lakish answers him, fine, I agree with you by an Ola and a Shlomim. Although, as Tosfos said before, maybe he only did it out of duress because he couldn't find an answer to that. Well, Lemele Rish Lakish. Why doesn't Rish Lakish answer? It is Meratza. Hanu Nami Laisu Vilitsu. As a matter of fact, that Ola that would be brought on behalf of Yeledis, it is Meratza. It is accomplishing a Kapara on behalf of the Yoshim who bring it. Rabbi Adar Bamasna says to them, what do you mean, Yeledis? You're talking about specifically a korban of a Yeledis, for example. Imhi Yolda, Banehom Yoldu. She gave birth, her children didn't, so she needs a kapara. for whatever reasons, a yoledes needs a kapara. But her children didn't. So yeah, it's a very valid point that Rabbi Elazar is saying that you see that a korban can be brought even though it's not merdatza. Maskus lo Rabbi Asi, but Rabbi Asi says, wait a minute. As a matter of fact, an oila could be mechapa for them. Uman leimalon di'ik kama esa gabola miskapra. What would happen? This year yoledes, primarily she's bringing the oila because she gave birth. But the fact is, oila is also can be brought to be mechapa when a person was over on a mitzvah saseh. As Alter Rebbe puts it in Igeres HaTshuva, as Gemara actually elsewhere puts it, Doden Lacha Shiritza Praklet, a gift to Hashem, to put him back in Hashem's, on good terms with Hashem, to make him Chovev Murutza, to make him beloved by Hashem like before that. So, an Ola is Mechaper from Mitzvah Sasei, and the fact is, says Ravasi, Uman Leimalon, so he would tell us that the Iik Kama Esagaba, that if in fact she was guilty of failing to do many mitzvahs asay, loy miskapra, she wouldn't actually be miskaper with that korban as well. That korban would serve for her requirement as a yoledes, but it would also clean up all those mitzvahs asay. Well then, since it works to be mechaper for her various essays, yosheh nami mechapi, then yes, it should work that it is fine. The yoledes part, it can't work because they didn't give birth. But it should at least work the fact that it's mechaper for other essays should work for her as well, should work for them as well. So Rish Lakish should have in fact answered. So why is Rish Lakish saying, fine, I have to agree with you about an Ola, that even though it's not Meratza, you can still bring it. Rish Lakish should have answered an Ola is always Meratza, because there's always, people often have mitzvah sase that they violated. But the Gemara says, remember the Kanya Lahu? Does that mean the premise then of this point of Rav Asi, would be that the premise would be that they are actually koina that korban, and now they're actually able to be in a scapel with it. The question is that in fact so? If a person had a korban mincha that he had designated and he left it to his two sons or more, umes, and then he died, kreva, that korban can be, that mincha can be brought. The inbo shutfus, there's no problem that it's partners. Now, unlike regular korbanos, which can be brought by partners, a korban mincha can be brought only by individuals. Because the pasuk says, the nefesh kisakru korban mincha, implying that it has to be one individual. So the isakru that kanya lahu, if you're going to tell me that they're actually koina, why kakru could they bring it? Nefesh amrachmana, the Torah says the word nefesh, that a korban mincha can be brought by only one person. So therefore, so it has to be necessarily that Yoshim don't fully acquire the korban. Well, in that case, if they don't fully acquire the korban, then how are we even thinking that they should be miskaper with it anyway? So the Gemara answers back, the loy kanya lahu. Okay, but you're telling me then that they're not koine, and therefore you're thinking they shouldn't be miskaper with it. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, we have a din the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan says, and in fact Tosfos says, and it means that he's contradicting himself then. Because here we just said that the mincha can be brought and there's no shutfus, but here Rabbi Yochanan says, yiniach behemel l'shnei bonav ames, if he left an animal of a korban to his two sons and died, and then he died, kreva, it is brought as a korban, fine, animal korbanos can be brought by shutfim, so you don't have that issue. Ve'ein memirin ba, however, they're not able to make a tzmura with it. Because a tzmura, as we learned at the end of Hodias, partners cannot create a tzmura. If you have an individual owns a korban and he says animal A, instead I'm taking animal B and substituting for it, then he's over on the issur of lo yomer and v'hoyahu smurasi yekodesh, both of them become kodesh. But the Gemara learns in the Masechta Tzmura that partners are not able to create a tzmura. So here we're saying they own the animal in partnership and therefore they can't create a tzmura. So iam b'shleim of kanya lahu, if you say that they actually acquire it, hainu de'en memirin ba. So you know why they're not able to make a tzmura to have a look for shutfin, because now they're considered partners, the shutfin, lemotzim memirin, and partners are not able to create a tzmura, because the whole parasha is talking about a yachid. But if you say they don't actually acquire it, which was a Rabbi Yochanan statement about the mincha, why taka shouldn't they be able to make a tzmura? So you seem to ask, so what is it? So do Yoshim actually own the korban or not? Rabbi Asi's Reb Asi's premise was that they actually own the korban and they should be able to mean a scapper with it, and therefore you could say that an ola is brought after the yoledes died and it's actually mechaper from mitzvah saseh of theirs. But what's the deal? Is a korban that Yoshim inherit, is it in fact theirs or not? My answer is shiny hosam d'amakroim homer yomer l'ramis is a yodesh, because since the pasuk says the double expression has homer yomer, if exchanging, he exchanges l'ramis is a yodesh, so that comes to include that a yodesh is able to make a tmura, but still echad meimer vein shnai memirin, but nevertheless it still is only, we learn from the pasukim that only one owner can make a tmura, not two. So the answer would be, in other words, basically, yes, the Yoshim, the korban completely, it is fully considered theirs. However, when it comes to tmura, they're considered partners to that extent, and therefore they can't make a tmura. But basically, they do own it, and therefore that bears out Rav Asi's point that therefore the Yoshim now own the oila, and why shouldn't it be mechaper for mitzvah sasei of theirs, and therefore we have justification to say that in fact, the Shlokish could have answered the Oila of a Yeledis is Machafer Lachamisa as well for her Yoshim, and therefore don't try to bring me a proof from that to say that Korbanis that cannot be brought Lachamisa, such as an Asham, should be able to be kosher without being Meratza, and therefore so that would still drive the discussion that we had before. So we'll continue tomorrow. Best Hashem, the Gemara is going to deal more with this matter of Yoshim and of Yoshim of Korbanos, and then we're going to continue on this topic of the flow of Yoshim and what exactly the Korban will and won't work for them. The Gemara is going to go into a long discussion of it that takes up most of the next daf and a half or so.